Sundays, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. During his joint news conference with Japan's prime minister at the White House, President Trump would not rule out the possibility of tariffs on Japanese imports.
We have a trade deficit with Japan of over $100 billion, but we're going to work that out, and I think very quickly, frankly.
Trump also announced Japan's Nippon Steel will drop its $14 billion bid to buy U.S. steel. CBS's Major Garrett has more on that.
It's now going to be an investment package. That does not clear up anything about this at all, nor does it clear up the future of unionized U.S. steel workers in Indiana and Pennsylvania.
Trump also said he will fire some of the FBI agents who worked on January 6th investigations because he says they were corrupt. The FBI's acting director has submitted a list of names to the Justice Department.
FBI agents in the field assigned to these cases are still very worried about that. And even if they retain their jobs, they're worried about their identities being disclosed because they fear harassment.
Some say they even fear for their safety. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. An alarming number of heart attacks are linked to shoveling snow, and the risks increase with age. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains heart attack snow.
With the combination of cold temperatures and sudden physical exertion, a problem is created. The cold temperatures constrict blood vessels, making it harder for the blood to flow efficiently. So when you pair this with the physical strain of lifting heavy snow, this increases blood pressure and heart rate, forcing the heart to work much harder. And for someone with underlying heart disease or risk factors like high blood pressure, diabetes, or obesity, this sudden exertion can trigger a heart attack. So people should pace themselves and take regular breaks, probably every 10 to 15 minutes. And using a smaller shovel will help to limit the weight of each load. And if you can, push the snow rather than lifting and tossing it. That'll help reduce strain on the heart.
Travel Wisconsin's Snow Report tool can help you find your next winter adventure. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
Winter is here in Wisconsin, and there's plenty to do around the state. A resource for finding your next adventure is the Snow Report, and Logan Rogge of Travel Wisconsin says it shows more than weather conditions around the state.
It's more than just learning about, you know, what the conditions are. It's really this full-fledged planning resource. So you can click a destination on the map and say it's a snowmobile trail or a ski hill, and you're going to find ideas for nearby restaurants to eat at, places you can spend the night, events that are happening in the area, and all these other ideas to just sort of round out that winter getaway. And you can check that out at travelwisconsin.com/snowreport.
You can also find other winter activities and information on the Travel Wisconsin website. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks play the Atlanta Hawks tonight at the State Farm Arena. Some new faces on the team, including Kyle Kuzma and center Jericho Sims, after those trades made before the deadline. Gone after 12 years with the Bucks is Chris Middleton, center Brooke Lopez.
I'm thankful that I got to know him as the man that he is. I got to know his whole family, you know, his wife and kids. I always love them. They'll always be special to me. You know, I'm obviously going to miss him. It's going to be a huge adjustment, you know, and I wish him nothing but the best.
NFL Super Bowl 59 coming up this Sunday in New Orleans. Even though he's played in five Super Bowls in the last 6 years, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes says he still gets a little nervous before the kickoff.
You're going to have nerves before the game, just like any big game. I think if you don't have nerves, you don't love the game enough. I have a better feel for how the week goes, and so I know when the media is, I know when practice is. I have a good plan for the week, and I think that's helped me on being more settled throughout the week.
That's the Chiefs' Patrick Mahomes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory for 2 to 5 inches of snow starting late tonight and continuing on into Saturday afternoon. Low tonight in the upper teens. High tomorrow, mid-20s. Sunday is looking mostly sunny. Highs only 15 to 20. Currently it's 26.
Experience love on the air with WFHR and WIRI. Now through February 13th, tune in Monday through Friday for your chance to win an unforgettable Valentine experience. Romantic dinner for two, exclusive tickets to the Bachelors on Broadway show, a blissful couples massage, and a stunning gold bracelet. Make this Valentine's Day truly special by showering your loved one with exquisite gifts from our cherished locally owned businesses. All thanks to WFHR and WIRI. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to celebrate love on the air.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Pat Kreitlow is off this week, so get used to some Bach in the Dock. Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Monday through Thursday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, February 7th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to talk to our good friend, Darla Allen, from the Charles and Joanne Lester Library in Nacoosa. Looking forward to that. Been looking forward to this one all week. Our friend, State Representative Scott Krug, in with us right now, in studio even. Scott, good to see you, man.
I like being in studio. It just reminds me of the old days, sitting in studio at WFHR. So I was telling Pam on the way in, as I finally turned on the FM side today, just to listen. I am so AM 1320,
I'm
stuck on it. So I'm like, I had to try it today.
Right up.
And it sounds good.
Yeah.
I might stick on that side.
It does come in really clear. Yeah. That is a nice part of it.
I do miss a little of the scratchy, staticky side of AM, though. Like, man, I'm super nostalgic on that stuff.
You're not alone. I'm 100% with you on that. Yeah. 100%. It's a little bit like listening to a record opposed to a CD. There's just something to it with that static.
The reality of it.
Going down.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. But I mean, I could go on for about an hour and a half.
We could probably talk about that.
And the stuff you guys talked about this morning, only child, middle child. Oh man, we got to do another show. But yeah, it was a great conversation you guys had this morning.
Well, if we ever get you to leave politics, I got a job for you. I got work for you, man.
Good.
For now, though, you've had a pretty busy beginning of the year here in the first couple months. And one of those things that have kept you busy is some of the office visits and Capitol events going on. I wanted to start there with you. Who's been visiting you guys in Madison?
It's amazing, right? So it's a twofold increase, right? Now that I'm in leadership, you get all these other folks that want to come see you now because they think you've got more influence, which I don't, but keep coming. You know, it's good to see you.
That's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah. But yesterday was a great day. We had 100 middle school kids from Adams Friendship came to the Capitol, third, fourth, and fifth grade, I should say, you know, elementary, mid school. You know, we've seen folks from our new credit unions on the other side of the lake, I call it, from my Juneau County side, and getting to meet more of the people from Juneau County. But yeah, we've got visitors constantly from Wood, Adams, and Juneau County coming to the Capitol on a regular basis, which is what I've waited for forever, right? Just see, and especially kids. When kids come to the Capitol, walk into the rotunda, and the first thing they do, their neck goes straight up, right up at the rotunda, right? And some of them just lay on the floor and look straight up at it. Like, and I tell them every time I talk to them, like, I was here for my fourth grade field trip, and like, that's why I wanted to be here. Like, so I hammer that into them, and you can see them finally grasping that and pay attention to it. So that's the stuff I love, is people coming down and seeing us. I'd love to get to the point where we get them to come and testify on some bills once in a while instead of just all the Madison, Milwaukee types who just show up. So we'll get there. We'll get there, though.
Just like you, I think it was fifth grade, maybe sixth grade. One of my first field trips here in Wisconsin was to Madison to the Capitol, and a huge impact on me. It really does. I think that it's just cool for kids. They have fun. There's a lot of excitement to it and everything. But there's also these side stories of, one, we never know what that might spark like for you.
Right.
We need more kids to want to get involved in politics from a young age. But also the idea of humanizing our politicians and doing that more and more. I hear people all the time talk about, how do we get our country to stop being so divided? How do we get ourselves from stop bickering like little children or something like that? A lot of that starts young. A lot of that starts with parents and how you treat politicians. When you're sitting back and watching the evening news and you're talking about so-and-so on the TV, those little sponges right there are taking all that in. And they're. I'm not saying that you can't have your 2 cents. That's the best way I could put it on the air here. But everybody's entitled to that. That's part of the beauty of being an American.
Yeah. I mean, and it's great because when the kids are at the Capitol, like I had a kid from the group yesterday, he walked up to me and goes, "Do you work here?" So yeah, no. I'm lucky. I get to work here. He goes, "Do you clean it every day?" I'm like, "No." And then finally I gave my speech about what I do, you know, but it's just trying to, I'm like, he's not, you know, like, kids aren't the only ones that don't get it. Like, if I'm walking around and I'm down at County Market in Adams Friendship and I'm wearing what I'm wearing today, my navy sweatshirt and my red Under Armour hat, you know, people don't really realize that you're in the community sometimes.
Yeah.
You put on a suit and coat and then all of a sudden you're important. I'm like, well, not really. So I try to take the John Fetterman approach sometimes to we're just regular people, right? I mean, it's an everyday thing.
I kind of think we need more of that, actually.
Right. Yeah.
I agree with you. I also, I think this is a perfect example of what makes you a very good politician and why I would be a horrible politician. Because I would have totally leaned into that. Man, it takes forever to clean this place. I do it all by myself.
Yeah, like, man, if you want to help, just stick around. Yeah, but that was great. I mean, just hearing the innocence in those questions and just them learning a little bit. So it's fun. It's a great time to see them there.
Encourage all of our local schools to reach out and plan these visits to the Capitol and everything. I also wanted to take some time to talk a little bit, Scott, with you. The Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Products has released its 2022-23 impact report for the Produce-Led Watershed Protection Grant Program.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
What is that specifically?
So back in 2013, I was fortunate to help create the Producer-Led Watershed Program, which basically said, don't rely on the government to come through and fix your body of water. Why don't we work together in our communities, producers and growers and folks who are in the watershed making a living off of the water and the land, and environmentalists who have concerns about the reaction of it. So that's what this bill did in 2013, is create this program to allow these groups to partner together and get some state dollars to do some funding to, you know, get the, you know, more setbacks off of land for cattle to get off of the water so they're not polluting the water, or creating land trading opportunities for people to give the headwaters of a body of water back to somebody else for land somewhere else, cover crop type stuff, just to make sure you're not having soil erosion and all that type of stuff. And this program in 11 years has become the most popular watershed protection program we have in the state of Wisconsin. So every year, we try to make sure we've got more of these programs locally. And this year, finally, with the 14-mile watershed group starting up their producer-led program, 2 years ago, the Rocha Cree group started up their program. So, I mean, those are things I've been after for a dozen years, just to make sure that growers and folks in those communities are working together to come up with solutions, because government is not the only way to fix it. Like, if we can do it in our communities with the tax dollars you sent to us that we can give back to you to fix your problem, this is a win-win-win program. So every year we put that out there as far as we can, so more groups can get interested. The funding for this program has exploded over the last 10 years. It's super popular, and I think it's the wave of the future.
When it comes to also the part of this of being able to really, there is no, I wouldn't say there's no middleman, but there is less of that. So there's less, you know, non-information for people. So they're collecting most of this data themselves. They're finding out most of this. And there's something, too, I think, to be said for the feeling of putting in the work yourself and how good that can feel when you're talking about your own land.
People don't understand that there's not a one-size-fits-all solution for every water problem in the state of Wisconsin. Like, every watershed is different. So a one-size Band-Aid from the state saying you can do this or you can do that, not going to work for the 14-mile watershed where it would for the Rocha Cree watershed. So that's the other aspect of it, is just individualizing the problems here instead of just saying, okay, there's one silver bullet that the state can give you to fix it. So it's a great program. We're excited to be originators of it and to be the curators of it every budget to make sure it keeps getting funded.
When it comes to that grant, if you want to find out more, encourage you to go to DACCAP.org. You can find out more of information of it about at there. Also, you might want to keep that website handy because the DACCAP also invited Wisconsin meat processors to apply for the Meat Processor Infrastructure Grant. You have until the end of February for this grant. And this is, what is this designed for specifically, Scott?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe, and if I told you, you may not still believe, but we have a lot of meat processing companies in the Central Sands area, I call it, because I've had a lot of Washera County, Portage County, they're gone, but now Juneau County's back on board. And with all the meat producers we have in our district, we're one of the most local meat producers that you can think of in the state of Wisconsin. When you think of Jack Link's beef jerky, when you think of other brands like that, they may have a label that say they're created somewhere else, but they're processed and packaged in Wautoma. And when you think of, you know, your charcuterie boards for your Super Bowl party this weekend, every little link or every sausage on there, probably packaged in Juneau County, Wisconsin River meat. So we've got so many processors here between Stevens Point all the way down to Nisida in between, that we also want to try to make sure that we encourage them to stay as local as they can. And those grants really help them localize their business a little better instead of consolidating up in some big city where you see like the problems with Smithfield out in South Dakota. One little germ outbreak in Smithfield in South Dakota costs the price of meat to go up 60% a week.
Yeah.
If we can localize these plants and let them all do their individual jobs with some state funding, it keeps the, you know, option for contagions to be a lot less impactful to the consumer in the end. So trying to keep everybody as local as possible is another reason why that grant exists.
Not only just to piggyback off of that, also hopefully maybe even creating new processing plants. Bring some businesses from out of state to this state.
There are so many guys that are involved in our local, you know, recreational hunting category that would love to turn into processing of meat and other ideas that this economy is set up for. When you've got a small shop that can find a grant opportunity or get somebody to be a stay-at-home type work job, but it's a great job.
And that grant, you have until February 24th to fill out that grant. Again, you can find out more about that and other information at DACAP.org. Be sure to do that, everybody, and spread the word about those as well. When it comes to, and this kind of leans into where we're going to go next, and we're speaking with State Representative Scott Krug right now. Every state in the union has similar issues than the state next to it. Everybody's trying to have more people come to their state, trying to keep businesses in their state, trying to create new businesses in their state. So there is a kind of unifying theme and problem for pretty much every state in the union. And one of the bigger other bigger issues for people, from what we're being told, is this or that. There's a lot of topics coming out of an election season. But I want to go to that next. Not only election coverage, but immigration and illegal immigrants, and talk about some of this, Scott, because there's been some recent news about that.
It is an amazingly sensitive topic in central Wisconsin, right? Because the district that I've represented for the last 12 years was more so impacted than here, where Plainfield, Hancock, Coloma, Wautoma, everywhere in between, have a huge migrant population who come up to work every summer. I could tell you every farm and how many folks are brought up to work, right? And having conversations with folks in those communities, we want to make sure we protect their workforce. And the conversations I've had with them over the last dozen years is that, yeah, when we bring people up, we know who they are and that they're documented and that they're not causing problems. We take a lot of pride in that. Every farmer tells me we want to make sure we protect our workforce and protect the public. Well, federal elections change policy from time to time, and this one is a big policy change where you've seen the Trump administration say, hey, if you're not supposed to be here, time to go home. Oh, so the states have to react to federal policy and say, all right, what are we going to do with this? So this week, there was a bill that came out in Madison that says, if you are here illegally and you create a felony situation where you're causing mischievous problems for the public, we're going to make sure that your county sheriff can verify whether you're a citizen or not upon your detainment. And if you are not a citizen, report that situation to ICE for ICE to put a detainer in, for ICE to follow through now with federal policy to say, hey, it's time to go somewhere else. And I think there's some, you know, misunderstanding of what this does. You see some in the media politicizing it a lot more, saying that if you are here from another country, you should hide. Chicago is a great example where they're literally telling people to stay at your homes and stay away. But this isn't just about anybody who's here illegally. This is about people who are committing felonies who are here illegally. And that's a big difference. So say, for example, Wisconsin doesn't go this route. And the governor's already said before the bill came out, he's going to veto it without even seeing it. Like the Lake and Riley bill that Congress passed. This is about the same type of thing where Democrats and Republicans agreed, like, yes, if you're here committing felonies and you're already here illegally, got to get you back to El Salvador or Mexico or Guatemala or wherever it might be. Colombia was another great example. So if Wisconsin doesn't go this route that other states are likely to go, we become a magnet. We become a safe haven for bad actors because they're going to say, hey, if I can't be in Illinois because they're going to come get me here, well, I should go to Wisconsin. And the public safety nightmare that this can cause, I think, is the biggest thing that I hear about from parents on the doors, is they don't care about our arguments in Madison. They want to know that their kids are safe and that their schools are working. So this is one of those, you know, safety issues that I think, you know, bipartisan support will show up on this bill to say, hey, I get it. If you're a felon and you're committing felonies and you're incarcerated, let's not pay $35,000 to $40,000 a year to keep you at the Wood County Jail. Let's send you back where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the sensitivity to it, like I said, on the workforce side and the humanitarian side, but this is not us just picking on anybody who came across the border illegally or a DACA kid who was brought here by his parents when he was younger. Those are other policies the federal government's dealing with. That's not what Wisconsin's after right now.
This is, and there's a couple of layers to this to me. For one, I think that the miscommunication of it is cleared up once you read an article or two, I think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of that, in part because we have a mouthpiece that just rambles,
right?
and says
yeah.
whatever's on his mind.
Yeah,
like, and
we're going to buy Panama and Greenland and all these.
Yeah,
and like,
what's happening with that?
Yeah, right.
But we've already moved on from that. And I mean, you can't blame a dog for being a dog. I don't blame him for being what he is. What I blame is the media and some politicians covering this as much as they do,
right,
and just using his talking points when they could be doing this, taking those talking points and being like, well, this is what he meant,
yeah,
or, well, this is what we're actually doing. That part I hold accountable, and I am part of the media, so I hold myself accountable,
yeah,
with this,
right,
too,
mm-hmm, yeah,
as much as you and some of your brethren for this, because they're just picking that up and running with it as well. So that miscommunication is understandable when you've got the majority of Americans that have busy lives and are trying to do a number of different things,
yeah,
along with keeping up on the news.
And, right, yeah. I mean, and it creates issues for even folks like me, you know, where I've got to answer all these questions.
Yeah,
makes your guys'
jobs that much harder,
And I
too.
Tell that to my friends all the time. I'm like, you know, where they're 100% on board with everything that somebody says. I'm like, just hold on. This is the reality of it. This is why this part's a problem. So I'm kind of glad that you see some in Congress just say, okay, I get that we're on the team,
mm-hmm,
but let's work on the details, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because everything, like this bill that we introduced where the governor had said he's going to veto it before it came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a minute, just take a day and say you're going to veto it after you maybe read it or something. Just like, slow down and just think a little bit.
Well, and I think part of the other issue with this is, too, is, you know, nobody wants bad people in their state,
right,
whether they're here illegally or not. And you're not going to get a lot of people arguing about that, I would think. But what the fear is, and we had Matt Lippert in our ag agent yesterday, and talking to him about this, and the fear for our ag industry of losing workers.
Yeah, right.
We've seen this in Alabama. Alabama still has not recovered from this. Alabama, in 2011, had the idea, we're going to get rid of all illegal immigrants.
Right.
Alabama, for the longest time, was the watermelon capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're barely surviving now.
Yeah.
They got nobody because their idea was, well, we'll have Americans pick the crops. Americans ain't doing those jobs.
Well, and that's what I said to some folks over, you know, in Plainfield, Coloma, Otoma, having conversations the last few weeks here, just because I know them and they still call me, even though I'm not their rep anymore, technically. But, I mean, that was the point I was making, too, is, like, it's not as if you can go to Tri-County High School tomorrow and tell the kids in the high school, like, hey, we've got all these jobs open, come on out.
Yeah.
I don't think the average 16- or 17-year-old junior or senior at Tri-County High School is willing and able or wanting to spend the day in the bean field to make sure the crop gets into the truck, right? I mean, and I hate having to say those things out loud sometimes.
Yeah, but this is where we are.
But it's reality.
We have to talk about this stuff out loud.
So,
I hear what you're saying.
Right.
I think the other part of this, too, that I hear a lot of pushback on is this isn't the main issue to me.
Right.
You guys just got back. We got new people here. We got old people here. We got a lot of work to do. Why is not the first thing we're doing childcare? Why are we not talking about school shootings? Why are we not doing something about this, or this? Does anybody have the percentages of the how many of illegal immigrants are committing violent crimes in this state? I got 0.2%. from Sheriff Becker. This is not the biggest problem we have in the world today. No. Like, we got bigger fish to fry. That is an issue. Now, again, going back to what we were just saying, I don't believe that this is something you and your representatives felt like, oh, we got to come out the gate with this. Right. But when we have somebody at the top of the order saying that you guys have to do this, well, what are you going to do?
We can put our heads in the sand and pretend that federal policy hasn't changed significantly, or we can deal with it. And I think it's actually a decent time for us to deal with it as we're crafting the state budget to deal with child care and water quality and all these other things. The state budget process is underway. That goes between now and June, when we finally do vote on this new state budget, and where we're talking school funding and school safety. And, you know, there's more bills out this week on school safety. It just happens that we started in this spot. And I think one of the bigger reasons this came up is whether people politically agree with the DOGE concept or not, finding out this USAID stuff this week has just been mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. And it's a game-changer sometimes to say, okay, the reason we haven't been able to make these investments is maybe because we're spending, you know, $14 billion overseas for things like $20 million for Iraqi Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. People back home are like, hey, we've got problems in our community we can't afford, but this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's the other side of the coin. Is I you know, you'll see them rip off that Band-Aid a little bit more. It's just this one is a lot easier to deal with, I think. A lot easier for them to sell to the public instead of saying, hey, we're trying to recapture all this money that nobody in Congress knew that we were spending for the last 20 years.
Scott, I know that you were on a lot of committees in our last minutes here. Is there any headlines, any committee news you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, still vice chair of campaigns and elections. It's still, you know, the number one issue. And every time we have a big idea for campaigns and elections, everybody says, well, let's not do that to upset the next election coming up, right? So there's a nice little lull in Wisconsin for like the first time in 6 years after the spring election. We don't have a fall election in 2025.
Yeah, that's right.
So we finally have time after the spring election to get past that sound barrier of there's an election coming up, don't make a change now. So we're going to make some big changes between April and next April, when the next statewide election will happen. So you'll see more things like the early processing of absentee ballots, so we can actually know who won an election before we went to bed, right? We've got new rules out on the photo ID that we just passed constitutionally that, you know, I always say the three pillars are knowing who won before you went to bed, knowing who voted is who they are, and that where they live is within that jurisdiction. Like, if I'm going to explain elections to people in 15 seconds, that's it. Those are the three things I want done this session, and we're probably going to get there with the governor signing them all into law.
It's going to be a busy beginning of the year here.
And that kind of eats into the real estate side of things, but that's okay.
Can imagine. It's also going to cut in the pitchers and catchers reporting.
Oh, my gosh. Bit, I know,
but that's right, right around the corner.
I'm not even
man.
Thinking about the Super Bowl. Like, it doesn't even exist in my mind this year. Like,
you are not alone, my father.
I heard Seth this morning. He was talking.
Seth, like, my dad, same thing. Like,
I'm over it.
Yeah. I was going to ask my dad because I realized this morning, I'm like, oh, I haven't asked him who he thinks is going to win. All he wants to talk about is pitchers and catchers reporting. That's it. That's all.
Yeah, I'm over it. So it's time to bring it on. So,
Scott, if people have follow-up questions, want to talk with you more about some things, how can they reach you?
Yeah, this works really well, actually. The cell phone, 715-323-3293. So usually about 4:30, 5 o'clock-ish on Fridays, the phone actually rings. So I'm glad people are listening and paying attention and responding to those situations. So just give me a call.
Appreciate the time, as always. Always appreciate the conversation. Safe travels out there. We'll talk again next month.
You bet. Take care.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Wisconsin women's basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Embrace the bold tartness of cranberries and experience their incredible health benefits. Honestly Cranberry offers unsweetened, shelf-stable, dried cranberries that are perfect any time of the year. With just 15 pieces, you'll receive the unique health benefits that are only found in cranberries without additional sugars, juices, or oils. The culinary possibilities are endless with your favorite baked goods, salads, oatmeal, or tea. Find amazing cranberries at your local favorites, Family Natural Foods, Richard's Liquors, and Ruby Red's. Heart the tart.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has introduced a bill in Congress that would close a tax loophole regarding carried interest that allows investors to pay less income tax. The legislation, called the Carried Interest Fairness Act, would require that carried interest income be taxed like regular income. Right now, some investors are able to divert some wage income to fall under the lower 23.8% capital gains tax rate instead of being subject to ordinary income tax rates of up to 40.9%. Baldwin said that President Donald Trump has previously called the loophole unfair to American workers. Baldwin's legislation has about 13 co-sponsors, all Democrats, in the U.S. Senate. The fate of the bill is unclear given Republican control of both houses of Congress and the White House. Do you know how to properly dispose of unused or expired prescription medication? Well, here in Wood County, we have several different drop-off points available in various locations around the area. They will accept pills, syrups, salves, creams, and capsules. Medication should be in their original containers with the patient's name crossed out. You can drop off containers at any of our police departments during office hours and also at the Town of Grand Rapids Municipal Building. They do not accept inhalers, oxygen tanks, nebulizers, sharps, or radioactive cancer medications. If you have questions, you can contact the Wood County Health Department at 715-421-8940. The Wisconsin DNR is reminding snowmobilers and ATV/UTV riders that no ice is 100% safe. There have been 6 fatal off-highway vehicle incidents so far this year. 4 of those 6 involved UTVs going through the ice. Enjoy the snow this weekend, but please be extra cautious if you plan to go out on the ice. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Conrad Krieger. Adam Scott is on a roll. The Severance star is returning to the film genre that gave him a start. Scott has signed on to the project to play a horror novelist who visits an Irish inn to disperse his parents' ashes, only to find out it's haunted. Hockham will be directed by Irish director Damien McCarthy, who directed last year's critically acclaimed Oddity. Scott got his start in the genre with a 1996 Hellraiser Bloodline. This film is still in pre-production. Adrian Brody says the makeup artist of The Brutalist tried to remove his prosthetic nose. The only problem is, it was not prosthetic. Apparently, Brody's real nose looked fake to the makeup artist. The Oscar-nominated actor told Jimmy Fallon he asked her if she was trying to remove that, and she said yes, and he said it doesn't come off. Brody says he and the makeup artist had a laugh after she said, "This is going in my diary," and Brody said that this is going in his talk show repertoire. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory for 2 to 5 inches of snow starting late tonight and continuing on into Saturday afternoon. Low tonight in the upper teens. High tomorrow, mid-20s. Sunday is looking mostly sunny. Highs only 15 to 20. It's 24 right now.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you've never stayed overnight on a dairy farm, would you consider it? The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association hopes you will and is working to position the state as the nation's agricultural tourism destination.
How can we grow agricultural tourism in the state of Wisconsin? Because all of our neighbors are embracing this and they're supporting agricultural tourism because they know it's an economic engine and it makes a huge impact for every taxpayer in our state.
Sheila Everhart is with the association and says from gathering eggs to corn mazes, ag tourism is on the rise. And overnight farm visits kick off as part of the NFL draft in Green Bay. Want to learn more, volunteer, or try your own ag trip? Go to WIAgTourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Max Inc. has a super show this weekend. Join us as we welcome The Flavor That Kills, Rob Dees and the Steepwater Band. Plus, we'll talk weather with Rippyology. Saturday and Sunday evening at 6, it's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine. I have your host, James, here, and we are joined right now by our friend, Darla Allen, director of the Charles and Joanne Lester Library. Darla, it's been too long. How you doing?
I am doing great. The library is doing well. Things are going fantastic.
Darla, we've got a bunch to cover because, you know, not just certainly all of our local libraries. You guys are so great at giving the communities things to do, our local hubs. It's great in 2025 to be able to say that. You know, our libraries are still our local hubs, and the workers like you, people like you in the industry are helping keep that alive. We're going to touch on some of that in a moment. But if you don't mind, we have a solemn place to start, but a place that we felt was necessary.
Yes. So many of you know Marshall Beeler passed away late last week, and his memorial services are being held today in Port Edwards. And Marshall was so wonderful. He was a driving force for preserving our local history. He was wonderful to work with. Lori Brost, who was at the Southwood County Historical Society, worked with Marshall extensively, and through that, I got to meet Marshall and work with him. The local history stories he shared with me about the mills and just how Port Edwards developed and all of the movers and shakers back in the day. I relished listening to those stories. And it's been so neat because over the years, I've been at Nakusa for 17 years. I've been able to share those stories with all the school kids that come in. And they're, how do you know this? Where is this written down? It's in my head. It's from Marshall. And it's been wonderful because stories of different strikes in a mill and how those affected the communities. And you'd look at different pictures and he could identify everyone in the picture. He was amazing. And it's such an honor because he shared those stories with me. And they often say, you know, when people die twice, they die the first time when you physically die, and then the second time when people stop saying your name. And I'm like, I have Marshall's name, these kids hear it, he's going to live for another at least 25 years.
Oh yeah, yeah, so, and probably longer.
And more than that, but, and it's neat because to share these stories with the kids, they are fascinated by it. They love the local history, so it is a very sad day. Marshall lived a long life, a fantastically interesting life, and just so many people held him in such high regard and high respect. That is a sign of a life well lived.
Well said. And appreciation to Marshall and his legacy and what he did and telling those stories and everything. And it's part of why it's so important that not only we encourage that more out of our community members and especially our longtime community members that know these stories, but we keep these stories alive, like you said, repeating these stories and telling them to younger people. And then they go on and tell those stories. That's how we keep our history alive. And this is our history. This is important. We know for a fact, especially, you know, being kids ourselves, history is interesting to us. And these kids are sponges. They're looking for these things. You tell them this, and chances are they'll be telling it to somebody when they're older.
Well, and it always interests me because there'll be people that say, well, I never liked history. And how can you not like history?
Yeah,
these are the stories of people.
Yeah.
And Marshall was so visionary in the sense that he saw the importance of preserving our history while we were living it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And so many people, like, it's not important. Sean Woods, the police chief in Nakusa, was going through some files. and this was late last fall, and he found all these pictures of Nakusa that someone took in the late 70s and early 80s. And he's like, you might want these. And so I've saved them because we have a large binder of Nakusa history. And to see how the community changed, the person who took those pictures in 1979 never thought that the Nakusa landscape would change that much. But it has.
Yeah.
And you have these pictures and people think it's not a big deal. Your local libraries, your local historical societies love that sort of stuff.
And with that, I do want to send a shout out to our friends over at the Historic Point Boss who keep history alive over there. Our local museum here in the Southwick County Museum. And so many of these people, like you said, keeping history alive. And individuals like you and Marshall and these people that keep these stories going and everything. It's just as important. And I appreciate that and appreciate you sharing that with
us. Thank you.
Something that we're really proud of over there is the Winter Reading Program. I want to start there with you, Darla, if you don't mind.
So we have a winter reading program, and it started last year. We've always done a winter reading program for adults, and we tried to figure out a different way to do it. We had been doing a bingo card, and we decided to try something different, and it's called Stories to Savor. And so, you know, books are something you should savor. You shouldn't be rushing through them. You should take time and read them and just enjoy the act of reading. So we have this program. You read a book, you complete a very short book summary or book review, and then every week you get entered into a drawing, and we have different food prizes. So you might get lunch at a local establishment or a slice of pie. We went to Ruby Red's and got some nice snacks. We stopped at Sweet Sip, so we've been trying to focus on local businesses and giving people a little chance to sample them, because it's sometimes scary. It's out of your routine. Well, if you get a little gift certificate, you might break out of that routine
and
support another new local business.
What a great tie-in. That's fantastic. Yeah. That is a really cool idea. It's taking a good idea, I feel like, and making it even better. That's really cool to hear. There are also winter tech classes available for people as well. Want to remind everyone about.
So one of our staff members loves technology and has really run with this. And we often have people come in and they have different tech-related questions. And so starting in February 13th, we start with our first class, which is how to navigate the Nakusa Library website. We have a lot of content on there, how to access the library catalog, what events are going to be coming up, how to book our meeting room. That's what we're going to be covering in that. Then it's how to use a mouse and keyboard. And that may seem intuitive, but it's not. How to search on Google. How to stay safe on the internet. How to avoid scams. How to take pictures on your cell phone. That is easy for a lot of the younger generations, but some older people have a difficult time. And once they learn how to do it and are able to practice a few times, they have that skill. So we are excited. These run from February 13th through June 5th. It's every other Thursday.
I love the details and the amount of classes and the different categories you're covering here. I feel like you got all bases covered when it comes to that. And certainly it's important nowadays. We're only getting more and more tech friendly, tech-centric as a society. We want our senior individuals to be able to enjoy the net and all the different things for it. If I'm sitting there with my friends and I'm a senior and I want to know who won the World Series in 57 or something like that, I want to be able to look it up. All that kind of thing. That those are all great resources and great things to keep you busy or just fun to do. But I value so much the idea of the not just giving these individuals an opportunity to learn this, but a safe environment to do it, a friendly environment. There is no judgment. There is no, those are all great questions, no matter what you're asking and a lot of that. The idea, too, of what we see more and more, and I bring this up because I think it needs attention more and more, is the isolation that not just us as individuals, but especially our seniors are going through in rural communities like ours, Rapids, Nakusa, Port Edwards, any of these places. So giving them an opportunity to have more connections, to more conversations, whether it's part of this class or it's something that they, you know, meet somebody that has a hobby they have in another state or something, whatever it is, giving them more opportunities to enjoy life. Like, they deserve it. They've earned it. They're the trailblazers. They're the reason we're here. This is the least we can do. I think it's a really cool program.
Thank you. And I'm glad you brought up our seniors and experience isolation, especially in the winter months with the roads not being great. We've been fortunate this year. We do offer dropping off materials. I have some low vision community members. Mm-hmm. I have some elderly community members that aren't comfortable driving. They can call the library. We can put books on hold. I often will go after I'm done with work and deliver materials just to keep them in the loop and provide them with materials. But we also have, the libraries are unique because a lot of elderly or older community members will stop in on a weekly basis. We know our patrons.
Yeah.
And to be able to check in with them, mm-hmm. because a lot of times their family doesn't live in the area.
Yeah.
And we also have added with our Wi-Fi access point, which I know we'll get into in a few minutes. But one of the neat stories I had about that is we had a patron whose parent is older, and the family is scattered across the country. And he came in, he goes, can you help me get my Android phone to use FaceTime? And so we were able to figure that out. And they don't have internet at their house. So he comes to the library and he is able to use our Wi-Fi on like a Sunday afternoon, go call his family members, and his mom can talk to the family members that live in different areas.
How great is that?
It's awesome. One of those stories that don't get told often enough. It's like, well, what do you need an outdoor Wi-Fi point? Things like that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that is a great story, and I'm happy for him and other individuals that can use that service. But I also flip this back on you and your staff, and to think of something like that, that deserves as much credit. That's just as cool. I don't know that that's necessarily something that, you know, is in the blueprint or anything of the work when you took the job, but, you know, I think it's really cool to think of those things. And it again, speaks to why our libraries remain our community hub. Individual thinking and unique thinking. So many, I say this a little bit of having a mom that spent, you know, decades at the working at a library, but even if I'm a little biased, don't mean I'm wrong. It's part of the reason how we keep not only libraries relevant and keep people coming to them, but we keep our communities healthy. We keep our, whether we're talking mental health or just safety in general. You mentioned that being able to check up on them and them being able to reach out to people just from Wi-Fi. Just from having Wi-Fi more available than it would be otherwise. That really is above and beyond. That's great.
Well, I always say that the libraries are the community living room. Everyone is welcome. Mm-hmm. You do need to behave.
Yeah.
But also, the libraries are so important because it is one of the few places where we preserve the community culture. Like who the community is. What the community is, what they value, that is all part of the library. Mm-hmm. If you notice, when there are any invading armies, throughout history, one of the first places they would go in to destroy were the libraries. Why? Destroy the culture, destroy the community's identity, destroy their history, destroy their language. So I feel very strongly about libraries and communities and the role we play.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more. You mentioned the extended Wi-Fi, just to cover the details of that before we move on. That is a pretty cool, that's a big increase with that.
Oh, it's fantastic. So in 2023, we had one Wi-Fi access point, which served the inside the library and just outside the front doors of the library. And we had about 12,000 uses. In late November of 2023, South Central contacted me and says, we have the second access point. Would you be interested? I said, why not?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm one of these people. I don't like saying no too often. Yes, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
So we added the second outdoor Wi-Fi access point. It covers the whole parking lot. And our Wi-Fi uses went from 12,600 to 67,800 in the course of a year.
Wow.
So that's over a 400% increase.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It is. We are beyond happy with that.
Well, and it shows the need for that then. You know, that was a really smart idea. That was really useful. That the numbers speak for themselves there. That's really impressive. And again, great idea to do that.
So it's interesting because our library funding is based on circulation. Mm-hmm. How many books we circulate.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But that's only one part of the puzzle of what libraries provide. Mm-hmm. And so our circulation may not be huge, mm-hmm. but we had 56,000 people come into the library last year in Nacoosa, a town of about 2,400.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
And we had almost 68,000 Wi-Fi uses. Those are people who may never check out a single book. We have people that use the meeting rooms. We have our meeting rooms booked almost every day. Those are also people that may not be checking out a book, but it's that idea of library as a third place.
Right, yeah.
You can come in, you can use our resources, you can use our facilities, you can make photocopies, send in your timesheets, any paperwork we will help you send in. Make sure you can scan the email. They are not checking out a book, but the service we provide is so invaluable to so many in our community.
Well, and you know, the smartest businesses are able to pivot, are able to adapt. But as I say that, but I actually in this chair and being spoiled in this job and getting to talk to so many people, I really feel like our nonprofits and are way better at this than like the business world as far as pivoting, adapting. And I think in part because you have to be, but also because of the individuals that get into this line of work. I think there's just something about creatives and getting into this world and what you can bring to it, like the things we're talking about here. And another thing that I've been dying to talk to you about since you showed it to me in our pregame, I really think this is cool and unique to our Charles and Joanne Lester Library.
Yes. To the best of my knowledge, we are the only library in the South Central system that is doing this. And so it started out as a staff member voicing frustration because we'd have people come in and they're like, what's the next John Sanford book? Mm-hmm. John Sanford has four dozen books, and trying to keep them in series order. And she goes, can we print out a piece of paper? We don't have room on the shelves. And so it was a collaborative process where we were able to figure out a shelf marker. And so we have two subject matters. We have favorite authors, which are your high volume published or authors, and Wisconsin Reads, which are all of our Wisconsin authors. And each of these shelf markers has a QR code. So if you have a smartphone, you can scan that. It talks about the author, all of their books in series order, because they have multiple series, and then other authors this author likes and authors that write in a similar style. So you may not have a smartphone when you come into the library. We have the smartphone. We have an iPad. So if you are interested, my staff is absolutely fantastic about, we can help you with this. Let's go out to the stacks.
And to what we were talking about before with winter tech classes, this is a great way to put those things you learn into action and check them out. And it is really unique. It is really a cool thing to be able to just put your camera right there, get that, go right to the website and see all this information.
It's really
neat. I was joking with Darla, you guys may be the first, but you will not be the last. This is too cool to not see in most of our libraries, but really proud that it's showing up here first. And a very, I think actually really, like it makes sense when I take a step back and think about it, because I would think that that library in particular could be really benefited by something like this. You mentioned the space and just not having the space that you to be able to have some of these things. Well, then thankfully you got the convenience of this, and it's a great resource.
Well, and the cool thing is as I said, it started out with voicing a frustration that patrons were feeling, and a staff member relays it to us, and then we brainstorm. I have a great staff, and figuring out these things. And they're not huge things. They're not things that cost a lot of money, but I always try to tell myself, we're a small library with a small budget, but let's learn how to do the small things really, really well.
We're speaking with Darla Allen, Director of Charles and Joanne Lester Library in Nacoosa, and wanted to make sure that people knew about Story Times. It's a Wednesday event that they can check out.
So yes, we have a preschool story time at 10 a.m., everyone is welcome. I mean, you don't have to be a preschooler, but we do a little craft. We have a story, multiple stories, and parents show up early. We have a great kids play area, so it's usually an hour and 15 minute event. Stories take up about a half hour. It's a great way to connect with other parents and guardians and kids. So if you are a person who is just starting out their family, you don't know a lot of people in the area, the library is a great place to start.
Yeah, that's a great point. And a really nice opportunity for families to be able to do all those things you said, along with getting out of the house sometimes. Yes. It's just nice being able to do that sometimes, too. And as we're wrapping up, Darla, you know, as we mentioned, we're both fans of history, love local history. You had something you wanted to share with us.
So I was a Guardian on the May 2023 honor flight with my father. So the Never Forgotten honor flight that flies out of central Wisconsin. And if you've never been to the welcome home for that, it is amazing. I mean, if you need an emotional pick-me-up, run up to Central Wisconsin Airport in Mosinee, because it is just heartwarming to see how these veterans, they are like teenagers again. And let me tell you, these older veterans, they go back to the hotel. There's a little after-party reception. They are going till 4 in the morning. Like, I was wrecked afterward. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
It is... that ties in where I had, my father was a huge lover of history and always quizzed me on Civil War activities. And so for the better part of a year, I was trying to figure out, how do I honor veterans? And I had ideas. We do a Memorial Day display of our veterans who have been deceased. We do a Veterans Day display of all of the veterans in our community. And I finally figured out, like, you know, let's take the pictures that I've collected and let's do a little weekly feature. So we have Never Forgotten Friday on our Facebook page. And every week I've tried to feature a different veteran. One week it'll be a veteran who is deceased. And then the next week we do a veteran that is alive. So we had a two-part series with Keith Warner and Lawrence Spice. That was the last 2 weeks, really. And Keith Warner was a World War II veteran who was killed in action about the time of Battle of the Bulge. And his best friend, Lawrence Spice, had enlisted with him. Keith was drafted. Lawrence enlisted because he didn't want his best friend to go alone. And in an interview he gave with the Daily Tribune when he was about 72, he said, you know, the one piece of advice I would give to young people is, don't enlist with a friend, because when one of you come, when only one of you comes back, it's just too hard. And you know, he enlisted at 20. 50 some years later, he was still that 20-year-old who had lost his best friend. It was just heart-wrenching to read. And so every week I do a different feature. Today I just posted a story about Todd Boudreau, who is a younger person. He lives in Nakusa. He's active with the Nakusa Fire Department, with the EMTs, very active with veterans organizations. I know he helped organize this Veterans Honor Night with the Nakusa football team, the Nakusa High School football team, and got the flags for all the service, all the different military branches. And Todd's just a really awesome guy. So he is this week's feature.
Very cool. Encourage you to find out about these. And thank you again for real quick for doing this, for thinking of this. Again, another wonderful, above and beyond unique idea that you guys are doing over there at the Charles and Joanne Lester Library in Nakusa. Darla, always good talking with you. We got to bring you back real soon. Don't be a stranger. Find out more at NakusaLibrary.com. You can go to that website. And as she mentioned, the Facebook page, go to there, type that in your search bar, like that page, keep up to date in the things they are doing, and be sure to share the events and our soldier stories and so many of these on your Facebook page. You just never know who might see it otherwise.
Exactly.
Darla, really good talking with you. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, James. Have a good afternoon.
You too. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thanks to all of our guests. And of course, a big thank you to the heart of this station, Pam Hilke, and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on, and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me this week as we talk to my friend and national figure Adam Kinzinger in what will be certain to be an incredible conversation.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
CBS News special report. During his joint news conference with Japan's prime minister at the White House, President Trump would not rule out the possibility of tariffs on Japanese imports.
We have a trade deficit with Japan of over $100 billion, but we're going to work that out, and I think very quickly, frankly.
Trump also announced Japan's Nippon Steel will drop its $14 billion bid to buy U.S. steel. CBS's Major Garrett has more on that.
It's now going to be an investment package. That does not clear up anything about this at all, nor does it clear up the future of unionized U.S. steel workers in Indiana and Pennsylvania.
Trump also said he will fire some of the FBI agents who worked on January 6th investigations because he says they were corrupt. The FBI's acting director has submitted a list of names to the Justice Department.
FBI agents in the field assigned to these cases are still very worried about that. And even if they retain their jobs, they're worried about their identities being disclosed because they fear harassment.
Some say they even fear for their safety. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you